What's up? Another episode of Left Turn Cult Off the Track. I have no idea what episode this is. I've already lost track. nice little innuendo there. Very excited about this episode. We have a person that we genuinely respect. I think one of the best media coverage personalities out there. Taylor Kitchen, welcome.
Oh my gosh, thanks. Thanks for the kind words. I appreciate it. Love you guys and what you all do. So excited to be on the show.
Yeah, I'm glad to have you. Okay, all right. First off, when did you start, when was the moment that you were like, hey, I want to go into journalism, sports journalism?
Oh God, that's such a, I'll shorten the story for you, but I started off as wanting to be like a musical theater major in college. That was what I thought my true calling was. Yeah, so... So I went through the whole audition process. What?
Yeah, I'm a theater. No, my bachelor's degree is in theater. Yeah.
Okay, so we're going to have to talk after this.
Yeah, for sure. Yes.
Okay.
Small world.
Small world. So the world of theater just kind of called. And I was like, all right. And I did theater throughout like middle school, high school. And then I did my actual audition for the college that I actually ended up going to. And I was like, I hate this. But I wanted to do storytelling, so I decided to get into film production. And I was like, well, I don't really like the whole film side of it, so maybe I go into media. And in media, I found journalism, because I just love telling stories. I've always been a writer. I've always been somebody who just likes to talk to people, interview people. So that's how I found journalism. But motorsports didn't really happen until 2016. That's when I got into the sport as a fan. And then 2021 is where I formed Above the Yellow Line. And that's where I was like, you know, I can make my community. I didn't see a lot of other women in the sport, from the fan perspective, doing what I was doing or what I wanted to do. So I formed the brand then, made the community, started talking. And then I was like, journalism, this is where it's at. So it all kind of combined to make the perfect storm to where I am today.
Man, that's crazy. I'm still stuck on the theater thing. My mind's blown.
I love it.
It's great. So as far as like journalism and NASCAR, like what you said, there's not, and don't get me wrong, there's a lot of media coverage of NASCAR, but you are genuinely like one of the hardest working and just like reputable people that we see, and we like, obviously, honestly, not blowing smoke up anybody's rear end or anything like that. We talk about it all the time, like off stage. We're like, dude, Taylor's like the real deal. She's gonna have a career in this. So it's finally great to have you on, because we've like, one of the guests that we wanted, we were like, we want Taylor, like that's somebody that we want. And then sadly, Cody is not here. Cody's like bummed, by the way. He was like, I'm so excited for this episode, and he's like, I'm so angry. But
well, hopefully he can join us. And if not, we'll have to talk at some other point for sure. But
yes, for sure, for sure. So kind of what I, okay, we're really off the wall. We're off the track, I guess. I'm going to keep throwing it back to that title. I don't know why, but
I love it though.
We're so like spontaneous, I guess, or surprising. We don't really do show sheets. We used to do show sheets, and now we don't do show sheets. But pretty much what I had planned is that we were just going to talk about first round, because we ended the last episode at Daytona. So we're just going to talk about the first round, which was Darlington, Kansas, Bristol, and then go into this round a little bit, and then talk about the schedule. So that's what's coming up. Brought to you by nobody. We don't have a sponsor, but okay. First of all, what was surprising to you about the people that made it in or people that didn't make it in?
You know, I had my bets against Blaney and Chastain. I thought they were going to make it, like not make it out of the first round is what I mean to say. I thought that they were goners. And obviously Blaney's proven us all wrong, which I'm happy about. Chastain is in a little bit of hot water. So not necessarily surprised that they made it through, but more so just based on how their seasons went, I wasn't expecting them to make it that far into the playoffs. I mean, we expected McDowell and Suarez to end their playoff hopes early. But at the same time, their teams weren't that bad. Like, they've had decent seasons and they were actually contenders. And I felt the track suited them well in the first round. But yeah, Harvick leaving after the first round, not as shocking, but kind of sucks. And then Joey Logano, that was a big shock for sure.
That one was rough. So my father is the biggest Joey Logano fan. And I told him, I was like,
really?
My father loves Joey. He went from Dale Jarrett, didn't really have a driver, and then he went to Joey Logano. And I was telling him, I was like, dude, I'm really worried about Joey. I was like, I don't think he's going to make it. And my dad talks the most crap, like, of anybody. And he's like, Joey will make it, dude. This is what he does. And then when he did make it, he was like, I genuinely can't believe it. That was the most surprising to me. But I genuinely thought McDowell was going to make it past 16. I did not think that he was going to get knocked out. I don't know. I have a love for McDowell. I think he's talented. Darlington was the first race of the playoffs.
Yeah.
And gosh, who won that? My mind's drawing blanks.
Part of me wants to I want to say it was Byron, but I feel like that's wrong.
I feel like that's wrong. Man, I'm really bad at my job.
It's wrong.
Is it?
It was Larson. Larson won it.
Larson. Yeah, Larson won. That's such a – why did I draw a blank on that? Larson,
you know what? Here's
won.
The thing, though. Like, once the race is over, like, my brain's to the next week. So, like, I mean, I can't even tell you who won, like, 2 weeks ago. Like, that's just how my brain works right now.
Yeah. Like, I remember specifically Kansas, and I know Bristol. Oh, yeah. I was there at Bristol. Yeah. But I could not think of who done that. Larson wasn't a big surprise to me. At all.
No.
I feel like when you think of the Southern 500 and like Highline, Kyle Larson is just one of those names that pops up into your head.
Oh yeah. And it was good to have him finally get that. I know that was a huge win for his crew chief and everything like that. So it was good to see them get that win. Not surprising at all.
Yeah. Yeah. But like NTJ really struggled. He struggled through that whole round. Honestly, and he's kind of still struggling.
Guy.
Yeah, I know, man.
Yeah, this playoffs have been a disaster for him. I mean, I don't know. Like, I mean, he went into the playoffs really strong, a lot of good momentum. I mean, way better season than he had last year, even though, you know, I mean, last year he didn't make it into the playoffs, but he was really consistent. This year into the playoffs, I don't know. Like, I think he's going to make the championship four. I really do, but it's going to be an ugly way to get into the championship four. I think he's going to struggle his way there, but he'll make it.
Yeah. I feel like it'll be like the Chastain of last year, because Chastain really made it in an ugly way.
Oh, yes. It was awesome.
Obviously, Kevin Harvick in that race, he... Worst luck I've ever seen in my life. Goes to pit road after Reddick slows down. Terrible.
Yeah, I was frustrated. I mean, there's no way that he could have known. There's no way. It was like a freak accident. Like, you never know. I hated that for Harvick because I thought that could have been one of his that he won. I really did. Or even not then, that he would have had a top three and probably could have pointed his way into the next round, maybe. But yeah, that's just how it worked out.
Yeah. I texted Cody during that race, and I said, there's two things that just happened. That was a total accident, or that was the greatest game of chess that was ever played. Yes. I've got to hope it was chess. I hope it was chess, because that's crazy.
Same.
Larson locks his way in. Then we go to Kansas. And now I'm drawing a blank on Kansas too. My God.
Reddick.
Yes. Reddick got a second win. Gosh. Yes. Reddick. Yeah. I wasn't surprised.
Great win for him. Oh, no. I mean, 45 going back to back to back wasn't surprising. I just was like, could it actually be done? And it happened. I mean, he was strong there. I mean, all of Toyota was decent at Kansas. And I think too, even Denny Hamlin had a chance to win that race, and then things kind of went sideways for him, which was unfortunate. But I am glad that Reddick got that win, got him into the next round. He's been a strong contender. My concern is, though, I don't know if both 2311 cars, either one of them or both of them, I don't know if they make it to the round of eight, but we'll get there. But I love that Reddick won that race. Good historic win for that 45 car.
Yeah, I don't. Once again, I drew a blank on that race. I thought of it earlier, and I was like, "Reddick won." Remember that? And then I just lost it. But like, there's no way I should have lost that. The 45 car is just—it's dominated there the past few years, which is nuts. Yeah, I love Reddick. I think Reddick's got a real. I think Reddick's move to 2311 was really—it's paying off. Number one, it's paying off well.
Yeah, it's definitely paying off. And it's kind of interesting to see. I feel like he has a personality change. And I don't necessarily, obviously, I don't know Reddick personally, but from what we see from the fan perspective, journalist perspective, when we're just talking to him week by week, it's a different vibe. And I think when you go from Chevy to Toyota in general, kind of like the Kyle Busch effect, but reverse, you're going to feel differently. The team acts differently. 2311 has kind of a pep in their stuff a little bit, kind of a swagger about them, and I feel like Reddick fit into that really well, and I didn't expect him to, because like I kind of just saw him as like the awkward guy kind of at RCR, but I mean he's killing it over there, and he fits in really well.
Yeah, I've been making everyone I know mad because I keep comparing Kyle Busch and Tyler Reddick. I keep comparing both of them. And everybody's like, dude, why are we comparing these guys? And I'm like, you got to. There's no way that you cannot compare them. They one switched to a Joe Gibbs affiliated team, the other one switched to the other guy's rod. I was like, I'm comparing them forever.
Yeah.
Kyle Busch, that's somebody else. Speaking of rough, like just rough performance, like it's not really been too bad, but definitely like come into the season with a full head of steam, and then it's just like kind of minute now.
Yeah, and he's in a must-win situation to try to get into the round of eight, and it's just, I mean, he said a lot of it was on him, you know, and I haven't seen him with this lack of confidence. I feel like not in his career ever, but in recent times with his career, not just on the personal side, because with him last year, it was a lack of confidence of getting a deal done. Am I going back to Joe Gibbs or not? This is driving and talent right now that he's struggling with. And I don't know. I just think his mojo's off, and I think he's going to miss the next round of the playoffs, honestly, unless he wins, but I don't think he can win this race. I don't either.
I'm with you. I think he's out. I'll be honest. We have one cuss word per episode, and I'm going to say it's not bad.
Do it.
It's one cuss word. I miss Kyle Busch talking shit. I do. The Kyle Busch that we know.
That's not even a cuss word.
Yeah, I know. We're trying to keep this one PG-13, I guess. But I miss him talking smack. I do. Like, he is just – he's not the same Kyle that I know. Like, you know when like somebody that you went to high school with has been, you know, just like maybe you didn't talk to them or that they're super mean, and then like one day out of the blue, you know, they talk to you and you're like, this person's actually super cool. That's Kyle Busch.
Yeah.
Kyle Busch is like the high school bully. Yeah. And I feel like that's wrong. The vibe. It is. I'm so glad somebody agrees with me on that. I feel like he's just, I don't know. It's just something weird. It's like he switched to bow tie, and then he had to have, I don't know, like this, a good personality. And I'm like, man, I miss when you were just like driving through cones on pit road because you were angry. You know, like I miss the excitement. So that's my opinion on Kyle.
Right, and I don't know if it was, like, the expectation going to RCR, like, hey, this is how we behave, not to make it sound like you're reprimanding, like, a kindergartner, but more so it's, like, you know, this is kind of the demeanor that we like to have around our shop, and I think this, I don't know if Kyle meant to have this personality change or not, but I think this gave him a new opportunity to open himself up to more fans, saying, hey, I'm at RCR now, we're with ties, I'm going to present myself differently, like, this is a really big deal to go to Childress, and I don't know. I'm going to clean up my act a little bit. I mean, that and his kids are getting older. He now has a daughter. Like, I feel like it was bound to happen that we saw him mellow out, kind of like what we saw Kurt Busch do. So, I mean, just the brother aspect of things, it kind of makes sense. But I do miss the spunk for Kyle Busch. He still has it, but it's not there. Like, I was going to mention the cones, him running through the cones on camera, because that's iconic. But yeah, it's a different Kyle, but I don't think it's a bad thing. It's just, you know, we miss the chaos that Kyle used to have attached to him.
Yeah, Denny stepped into Most Hated. He stepped into the shoes of Most Hated. He's loving it. I feel like he loves it. And then Kyle, like, he just had it. I don't know. It's just super weird. But good for him, though. I mean, he comes out and wins three times this season in his first year at RCR. So I'm glad. But I'm with you. I don't think he makes it at all.
Yeah.
And then we went to Bristol. And then Kevin Harvick got nowhere. Like you just said, I was definitely surprised that he was out. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, because that usually is one of his best tracks. And I know Ronnie's crew chief after the race was like, I have no freaking clue what happened. Like, I don't know where our playbook went. Like, we've never brought a awful car like this to this track before, and it killed his chances at a championship. I mean, granted, I didn't think he was going to win the championship regardless going into the playoffs. I was hoping it would happen. My preseason predictions, I predicted Kevin Harvick would have a walk-off championship and win it all. Obviously, not going to happen. But I was hoping they would have more fight, but it was really disappointing to see. I think once the playoffs hit, he didn't. It was just, I don't know. I don't want to ramble on. It's just more disappointment than anything.
Yeah, so I don't know. Do you know, have you ever heard of the podcast Chairgating? Do you know those guys?
Chairgating?
Yeah, they're called Chairgating. One of the hosts is Dakota. The other one's Rattlesnake is what people call it. I don't know if he goes by his actual name. I'm not gonna say it. But Dakota is a gigantic Kevin Harvick fan, huge Kevin Harvick fan. He came in to watch the race, set with us. And dude, it was like, my driver's Buescher, so like, I love Buescher. Like, that's who I'm kind of pulling for.
We need to be best fan? Friends. Yeah.
Are you a Buescher fan? Are you kidding me?
Yes.
We're friends. We're best friends now. there's no denying that. Theater Buescher. Oh yeah. I love Chris Buescher. He's done so well too. He's done great.
Yeah, and here's the thing. The biggest disappointment of my year was I was at Michigan to cover the race for Above the Yellow Line, TobyChristie.com. And I wasn't able to stay until Monday because I had to work on Monday. And then, of course, watching the race and Buescher wins it. I'm like, I could have been there.
See, oh, no.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how I was. That's how I was with Richmond. That's how I almost went to Richmond. I almost went because I was like, I've never been before. Me and my father talked about going. He's like, he loves that track. I'm not really a big fan of Richmond, but I was like, you know, I've never been there. I'll go. And then Buescher won, and I was like, man, I'm kicking myself in the teeth.
Should have gone.
But you were there. Like that sucks. I hate that for you. That you had to work life, man. The work life, it blows.
I know. Yeah, I'm working, well, if you count what I'm doing with Toby and what I'm doing with my brand separately, I have four different jobs right now. Yeah.
Do you have time to sleep? Are you okay?
I'm fine. I'm okay. So my schedule, because of like how everything works, it's kind of backwards. Like, I will go to bed at like 2 or 3 in the morning because like that's like my most productive and that's like my work hours. That's where I do like the back loading of my work. And then like I'll wake up around like 9. I'll get that initial work done. I'll take a nap and then I'm back to work again. Like, it's really odd and unhealthy, but like I'm getting stuff done. I'm doing my job. We're doing fine. But it's like a really weird schedule.
You know that precursor I said earlier, and I said we thought you were one of the hardest working people out here. That right there is proof. No one can argue it now. Four jobs. Yeah. I'm sticking by that. four jobs. I work two jobs at one point. Well, okay. Technically, I work three. I work three jobs at one point in my life. And It was strenuous. I was in college, but like you said, you kind of find time to get stuff done, especially when you got like your own, like your own brand. Like you kind of have to. It's like nobody else is going to do it, so you got to do it.
Yeah, and
so
I mean, like as the brand has grown, so because now it's like it's an official business. Like there's so much that goes into it if you want to maintain it and bring it to like to the top of media, or like you want to bring it to more people's attention. There's more work than people realize. And I mean, I don't have a crew that edits for me. I don't have a crew that films for me. I don't have a crew that promotes it. Like that's all on me, and that's stressful and it's a lot of time, but it's really fun. And I will say, my last two semesters of college, I got the fourth job I added on happened in May. So it was right after I graduated, but, while I was in college, it was three jobs plus an internship, college. And then I was helping run our news station at our school. So that was like six different things. I really didn't sleep then, but I wouldn't trade that experience for anything. Cause I mean, it helped me grow to the journalist I am today, but got sidetracked, with the busy schedule, but we can get back to talking about the NASCAR stuff.
NASCAR, that happens a lot on our show. For some reason, we always get sidetracked. I feel like every one of us have ADHD, or ADD or some form. There's no way that not all of us have it, because it happens every time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Denny Hamlin wins. Talk smack.
I love it.
It's working. I love it too. It's great. He locks himself in, and then exiting was Ricky Stenhouse Jr., Michael McDowell, Kevin Harvick, and Joey Logano. Ricky Stenhouse, like that. I expected it. That was a surprise. I love JTG. If JTG listens to this, I love you guys. Don't hate me. Because I made a tweet and somebody was like, that's just mean. And I was like, no, they're not making it. I'm sorry. I love them. Daytona 500 champs. I was there. I saw it, but they're not making it. Joey was out, which we talked about. Kevin's out, which we talked about. McDowell was out. I'm sad about that. I love McDaddy. Mm-hmm. He's great. and then we go into the next round, round of 12. And honestly, this is like the closest points battle that we've seen in forever. So I didn't even make a bracket this year because I was like, I'm going to be wrong.
Ooh, I made a bracket. So I did for my team, we do our own individual brackets separate of like the NASCAR website, because I just don't keep up with that. I don't remember that. But so far the bracket's like, fine. However, I know after this round, I think I'm just going to be totally off, and I'm not looking forward to that. But it is a really close points battle, which I'm excited about. I mean, we've been asking for something like this for years, and I feel like with the playoff format, it's been very missed. And this year, the playoff format is actually working with the intensity we want, which is pretty exciting.
Yeah. Yeah. I just like last year's playoffs was crazy because it was like so many different winners, but I can kind of guess the final four from the beginning. I was like, these people have a pretty, I was not surprised by the final four at all. This year, I genuinely have no idea who it's going to be. I know Denny's going to probably be in there. Like you said, Martin Truex Jr., I'm kind of expecting him to scoot in. But the other two, I don't have a clue. Not a clue.
I think what's interesting about the season is it's unpredictable for the final four, but at the same time, it has a chance to be predictable. Like, we're thinking it probably could be Denny Hamlin, Martin Truex Jr. I mean, if Kyle Larson makes it past this round, which he hopefully probably will, given that this is a road course, he should be fine. Byron's definitely making it past this round. Like, we have those predictable drivers that will probably make the championship four. But there's also the realistic expectation that there will be an upset, which I think will be really exciting. And I think that's what's carrying people through these playoffs as well, is that predictability / unpredictability. Last year, it seemed a little too predictable. And then, of course, Chastain did the Hail Melon, which was like, holy crap. But again, he was doing so well last year. We were like, he could be in the championship four and win a title. This year, though, different vibe, but I'm here for it. I'm excited about it.
Yeah. Texas was pretty wild. Now that we're like on like this round that ended, I'm like caught up now. Texas was So a lot of people hate Texas. Do you like Texas? Are you a big Texas Motor Speedway fan?
I think the Gen 7 car helped it, but I still do not like it.
Yes. Okay. That's most people's. I don't really, like, I can take it or leave it. It's not like, you know, like, how often am I going to, you know, drive down to Texas or fly down to Texas and watch a race? So, like, right. I'm glad Texans have a track. I'm glad they have a track to go to. But we had a listener on our show. It's named Austin Cobbler, and he was there. And I was like, dude, I'm so jealous that he got to go to that race, because that race was action-packed. Insane.
It was. It was actually, it wasn't a bad showing for Texas. And just for the schedule next year, it's not going to be in the playoffs anymore, which I feel like dampens the excitement that Texas brought to us this time around. Yep. But it wasn't awful. So I'm okay with that.
Yeah. Yeah. It wasn't bad. I was genuinely the ending of that race when it was like Chase Briscoe battling. I was like, what the heck happened? Like, dude, this guy hasn't been here all year and he's battling for a win. And then Willie B just runs right in.
Yeah.
Bum for Bubba. Me too.
There are so many races this season in particular where he has been close, and whether it's a mistake on pit road or whether it's literally just a freak accident, something happens to take him out of a win. And I hate it for him. I mean, he's been able to maintain going through these rounds of the playoffs with, you know, with the Roval coming up. I don't feel like he has a good chance of moving on, because he's getting better at road courses.
Yeah.
But compared to who he's surrounded by in points, though, that are way better than him at road courses, I get nervous about it. But I felt so bad for him at Texas. I really did.
I did too. And it's two RFK people. I'm really scared about Brad this weekend. I love Brad. I'm so terrified, because his road course in Gen 7 has not been well. It's not been all that good. Willie B locks in. Willie B still strong every week. That's another one I feel like is going to go in. I might not have even said it earlier. And then we moved on to where did we go? We went to Dega. Dega. Yeah. Of course. Yeah. With the Talladega Knot schemes.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, I did too. They did a really good job with marketing that. What was I getting ready to say? I was getting ready to say something. That was a pretty good Talladega race. That I've been to Talladega a lot. That one, I was bummed that I wasn't there.
It was, I don't want to say it was the best, like, super speedway racing we had all season, because I thought the Daytona race before the playoffs hit was incredible. But this was so good. We got the shake and bake with Briscoe and Priest, which was awesome. And then that photo finish, yet again, Ryan Blaney takes it, and another, like, really close finish at Talladega. It's just, it's his style there, and I really like it. And I, again, sucks that Harvick didn't win that, because I was like, oh my God, a walk-off win. But then he got disqualified. So it would have sucked if he won it, because he would have had to have just said, sorry, dude.
Could you imagine the NASCAR world if he would have won that and they would have DQ'd him for window clamps? Oh, my Lord. Cities would have been burning.
Yes.
I would have probably joined, honestly. I would have probably joined the riots just because that, you know, let it by. Let it by with it.
For sure.
Blaney, what was it that I saw? I think somebody on NASCAR socials called him Mr. 007.
And oh, yeah.
I was like, I didn't know that was a thing, that's what people were calling. That's such a sick name.
Yeah, so it was his first two wins at Talladega for Cup. He won those in 007 seconds, 0.007 seconds. So that's how we got the nickname, Mr. 007. And now, I mean, of course, didn't follow that trend. It was like 0.012 seconds, but still, I mean, it's a great nickname. It fits him really well.
Yeah, Mr. 007. Like, I was like, man, that's like, if you're a Blaney fan, like, that's pretty, you got something to be proud of, because you could be like, yeah, my driver's Mr. 007.
I started out as a Chase Elliott and Blaney fan, and I mean, I don't know if you can see in the background. Is it this side? No, the well, one of these sides has a shelf with Blaney stuff. I think it's that one right there.
I see it now. Yeah, I see it.
Yeah.
No joke. So as Roush had dark years, this is another thing that we have in common. When Roush had the dark years, I was like, man, my team's not doing too hot. I'm going to pull for someone who can win. And I became a Blaney fan for a while. I was wearing Blaney merch. Love Blaney. Met and talked to him a few times. He was at the NASCAR Awards in 2019, and I bumped into him. And I was like,
yeah,
oh my God, dude. Like, I love you. And I'm sure he thought that was kind of weird. But I met Leonard Wood. That was the big one.
Oh, wow.
I got Leonard Wood's name tattooed on my arm. I don't know. Not a lot of people know.
Dang,
that.
That's cool.
It was, well, okay. It was a combination of alcohol, and dumb decisions, but, I said like 2 seconds before I literally bumped into Leonard Wood. I said 2 seconds before I was like, I'm going to get his name tatted on my arm if I run into him, and ran into him like right after I said it. And I was like, I'm a man of my word, dude. Sign my arm. And he was like, what are you talking about? And I'm like, dude, just sign it. I was like, I just signed my arm. So now I have a Leonard Wood Hall of Fame 2013 on my arm forever. It's crazy.
Awesome.
Yeah. But yeah, Dega was great. Blaney somehow pulls off these close wins every year. And Blaney was one of those guys that I did not see making it.
Yeah.
I was like, this just ain't his year, man.
And he's one of my favorite drivers. And I was even like going into the playoffs, like, sorry, but Blaney's not going to make it. And everyone all over like my social media, TikTok was like, how can you be saying that? And I'm like, because if I'm on bias in this and I'm taking a step back, look at his season. It has just not been good for Penske.
No.
But he's proving us all wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Dell Jr. had Blaney in his championship four. And I said, I think I literally was like, are you insane, man? Like, have you not been watching? Like, are you even missing the races? Like, are you not paying attention?
But, you know something we don't.
True. And that's what we said about Joey was we were like, well, my opinion on Joey was that he got his win and he was just laying back until the playoffs kicked off. And I figured that's when they were really going to start, like, you know, saving their assets and start going. Maybe they done that for Blaney instead.
I mean,
because especially last Phoenix when Blaney,
yes,
yeah, he played for the team. Maybe yeah, they're getting.
That's the thing. Like, he could have won that Phoenix race last year. His car, in my opinion, looked better, and people can argue like, the, you know, championship cars are all cheated up in some way, shape, or form. They're always going to be better. But I'm like, did you see what Blaney did last year? And Blaney even's been candid in interviews. He's never outright said it. But when asked about that championship race, I mean, it's kind of like team orders. You know, Joey Logano's going for a championship. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he was way too angry getting out of the car not to have had someone say to him, do not pass the 22.
Right.
And like, you can't blame Penske for having, you know, a barrier between the championship car. Like, you got to pass a Penske car to get to the championship contending Penske car. And I understand that. But maybe Junior's right. Maybe Junior was right, which he most of the time is.
Yeah.
I'll be honest.
Facts.
I think that he is. But yeah, it was a good race. And now we're going to the Roval. And I'm terrified. I really don't know who's gonna make it. I think Reddick's getting by myself. Mm-hmm. I think Reddick will probably beat Brad. Is there anybody that you think is for? You said Kyle Busch. Is there anybody else that you think is for sure out going into this weekend?
I think it's Bubba. I think Kyle Busch. Chastain. Points wise, I think he's okay enough to where he could point his way in if somebody else has issues. But those other people that would have to have issues around that cutoff line, I'm thinking right away, you know, is, you know, Kyle Larson, Tyler Reddick, and I think they're going to be fine. My concern is, though, like, unless you're Denny Hamlin, who is sitting third in the point standings right now. He's like plus 50 to the good heading into this weekend at the Roval. Unless you're Denny Hamlin, like, you're concerned. I don't care who you are, because things could happen. Like, you know, on those restarts going into turn one, I mean, we change where the restart zone is. I don't think that's going to help the entry into turn one at all. But we saw calamity happen. Like, people who've had great days, their days get ended because of just getting piled up into that turn. So I don't know. This race, though it seems predictable for those road course guys that we know to do well each week, I feel like it's not. I feel like we're going to see a shock as to who gets out. It could be another year where Kyle Larson just leaves early in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. I mean, not saying that's what I want to see, but it would produce some chaos and it would allow somebody like, maybe this could, that could be Brad Keselowski saving grace, to be honest with you.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
I'm hoping. The one thing about this, this is what terrifies me, is that they're bringing back stage cautions. In particular. And I hate that. I don't know about you, but I hate that. I'm like, we had a whole year of road courses without stage cautions, and now we're just going to throw stage cautions onto this race.
Yeah, I do not like that. And I talked all about this, but I hate when we change the rules either mid-season and especially like before the playoffs. And I know this was the one road course race that we had, but we knew that all season long. So it's kind of like you made your bed, deal with it. But I don't know. It makes me feel weary about like the rest of the road course races that we had this season and how they played out. I'm like, okay, well, if this one is going to have stage cautions and the other ones didn't, you know, what does that mean for those who won those races? I don't think it would have been any different, but still, it feels funky. I don't like it. Sure, it'll produce probably some more entertainment value because we have more restarts, but I don't feel like we actually needed that for the road courses. And the races went by faster. And with the product that we have right now, I'm not loving what it's producing with the Gen 7 car on the road courses or the short tracks. So a shorter racer was actually better, in my opinion, from a fan at home. But I'll just leave it there. But yeah, I'm not a huge fan of the stage cautions coming back for this race.
Can I ask a question to a content creator, Do you not feel, and I've said this before, do you not feel sometimes like a broken record because we get mad? Dude, like really, like we get mad about the same things over and over. And I feel like most of the fans get mad about the same things over and over. And for whatever reason, we continue to do. It's like, yes. Oh man, this is controversial.
We continue to talk about the same things, and I do lives maybe like 3 times a week, and every live stream is the same questions of even to like, where do you think Noah Gragson's going next year? This is a question I get every live stream. I'm like, I don't know. I literally don't know. Like, whether I'm asking people that are in the industry, whether it's something that I've heard through other sources, like, God, I have no clue. The other question I get is like every live stream is like, where is this bumper from, Taylor? I'm like, I answered this 5 million times. By the way, it's Kaz Grala Pocono 2022. It's on repeat, but in regards to like the stuff that we all get like angry about, yeah, but I feel like it almost fuels the fan base in a way. But then the fun part is, and where you got to be a little creative as a content creator, even a journalist, it's okay, so we're talking about these ABCD stories, right? Like the ones that you talk about every week. What's different? What can you attract your audience to that's a little different than the rest, whether it attracts a different audience or not? I don't know. We all like to talk about the same stuff every single week, but that's kind of the fun part about content creation. You got to do something a little different, but yeah.
Yeah. That's no shade at the list. That's no shade at the listeners. I'm not shade at them at all. No. I love doing the show. And we do live shows every Monday. And I love that. Like it's genuinely fun. I get roasted though. I people point out insecurities about me that I didn't even know I had. And I'm like, God, it's literally like I'm just getting bullied. But I love it. It's great. It's fantastic. It's the world that we created, I guess. But I had to ask that.
It's true. No, I love it. Thanks for asking that.
Yeah. I hate to say it. I don't want to say it, but I'm going to say it. I think Brad's out this weekend. I'm sorry.
I think you're right, and I hate it, but I think you're right.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want him to be. I think it would be sick. So it's so funny. 2311 and RFK were the only teams to have all of their cars in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And it's kind of a... I don't want to say it's kind of a handicap because I guess they both are only two car teams.
Right.
But I feel like one 2311 car exits, which is going to be Bubba. I feel like one RFK car exits and it's going to be Brad. I think Kyle Busch is done. Definitely. And who am I missing?
That fourth driver could be a mystery. Honestly, Chastain still is kind of iffy in points, but he does have the potential to win with his road course record.
Yeah. And especially with how chaotic these restarts are going to be, especially with the stage cautions, my broken record question, there's why I'm talking about it.
Oh, yes.
With the stage cautions, it's going to be insane, and I know somebody is going to get screwed. I just don't know who.
Yeah. That's the fun part and the awful part, but it's you never know. You never know.
Yeah. There's going to be a fan base that leaves the Roval that's going to be extremely pissed off.
I'm ready for it.
Do you like the it was Twitter drama, now it's X drama. Do you like the X drama?
Oh, God. I try to stay out of it because for me, too, it's like I don't want to cross the line between like being too opinionated, just like because there is a fine line between content creator and journalism. And yeah, I tend to cross it a lot, which is like tricky. But when there's drama on Twitter that I feel like I kind of want to voice my opinion on, I love it. I like because it's like the heart of the fan base. We're all kind of mad about something all the time. We all have opinions we want to share all the time. Sure, there's some unnecessary drama that happens there, but I love just kind of seeing what we've gotten ourselves into this time. It's like the incident counter, like 0 days without an X incident. It feels like that every single freaking day.
Yeah. Gosh, we have reset that counter a couple of times. I'm not gonna lie, we have reset it a few times, and I'm like, ugh. Every time we do it, I'm like, oh man, because I mean, as far as like the five of us, I'm pretty tame, but when you get to like Cooper and Dalton,
I was gonna say Dalton guys, is like he raises the bar.
Dalton raises the bar, but you said the incident counter, and I was like, oh, yeah, I'm definitely a part of that. One of the drama things, that's what I was getting ready to say, one of the drama things that happened was Matt Crafton. We haven't really hit Xfinity Series and Truck Series. We're going to do that next year, I think, but we're just kind of sticking with Cup for this series. But the Matt Crafton, we got to talk about that. Matt Crafton just, I mean, wails on Sanchez. Like, wails on him. God.
Okay, so the first thing that we all see is this video from Front Stretch, just of Nick Sanchez just bloody. Like, it's disgusting. Yeah. And then you're hearing Nick yell, and you're like, what the heck happened to make him say those things? I mean, obviously he got punched in the face. He was bloody. But then I think for me, the penalty that came after that, where it was only fines. I mean, Sanchez was fined $5,000 for, you know, what he said. I mean, if you say you're going to kill somebody, I mean, that's not the best thing to probably say on record. But for Matt Crafton, only fined $25,000. And I guess it's on par with past incidents, but I'm like, if you broke the kid's nose, which I don't know if that's confirmed or not, I would imagine that could be grounds for suspension.
Yeah. The fan in me hates to agree. And the only reason I say that is because I grew up in the Boys Have Edit era when they said, do what you want. And honestly, those seasons to me were the best seasons I've ever watched. Cause I'm like, man, these guys are duking it out every week. It was great. But as a grown man and as, you know, I gotta have some integrity. He's got a suspension.
Here's the thing, though. Like, if you're gonna do the Boys Have At It, my whole thing is like, then why are we fining and why are there penalties to begin with? I mean, sure, there's like a standard that you have to uphold, but if you really want, like, I think it was Steve O'Donnell or somebody who explained, it wasn't Steve O'Donnell, it was someone else who was explaining the penalty, and they're like, you know, I just let the like them have at it, kind of fight it out, and then we kind of went from there. And I'm like, okay, well, if you're gonna just let them go from there, don't even penalize them. Just let them kind of deal. Now, of course, if it gets dangerous on track, like we've had like the, got all those dangerous on track incidents in the past where things have boiled over, like that's where NASCAR should step in. But if it's after the race, you're throwing punches and things like that, I don't think you should fine people or suspend or whatever, unless it gets like you're breaking bones, which is why I step above.
Yeah, and that's where I'm with you, is the breaking the nose thing. And also, like, you got two totally different stories. Like, Crafton said
that. Yeah.
Crafton said that. Yeah, I don't either. Somebody's lying. I just don't know who. Or maybe they're both telling the truth. I don't know. But
there's some truth in, I think, each person's statement. I will say, though, Matt Crafton, the way he put his kind of PR statement together is he was like, Did I sucker punch him? Like, he was like, well, I didn't take it into account that he like punched me on the track. I'm like, okay, bud. Like, that's an awful, like,
yeah,
comparison you're making there. One of those things was intentional. One of those things was not. Okay. So,
yeah. Well, like, when they find them, I was like, man, people are going to bring up the Austin Hill, Mike Snyder thing. They're going to bring it up. It was the first thing I saw on Twitter. Somebody's like, you didn't find Austin Hill. And I'm like, this is a little different. You know, Austin Hill told him to walk away.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he punched him. It is what it is.
Yeah.
But yeah, super crazy. Oh. The schedule. We got to talk about the schedule that came out today. I'm super excited to have you on to talk about the schedule. So we're from... You don't have to say where you're from, because I don't make everybody say that. But we're from Bristol, all right? So we are super pissed that we're on concrete in the spring, in March, because I know the weather. I can be at Bristol Motor Speedway in like 40 minutes.
Dang, that's nice.
Yeah, so I'm super pissed about that. That's right off the bat, I'm mad about that. I love the dirt. I was like, this and works.
That's my thing too. Like, was it great when we first went there? No, it was awful. Second year we went there, we got better. But when we went this year, I feel like we figured it out and it was actually enjoyable to watch. And then I saw the schedule this year and we knew that Bristol Dirt wasn't going to be returning, I mean, a few weeks ago. And I was pretty bummed. But like, why have the concrete race in March? I'm like, are we researching the weather? I mean, I thought the same thing you did. I'm like, y'all are going to be freezing or there's going to be snow or sleet or something. And it's going to be awful. But even too, I mean, besides that, there's a few negatives in the schedule for my opinion, but there's always going to be pros and cons. I thought overall the schedule was a home run for the Cup Series. I thought it was overall, it looked really good. I was excited about what I saw. But that was one of the, I think that was the biggest red flag for me. That's where I was. Yeah. That doesn't make sense.
Yeah. I have been at Bristol Motor Speedway. I have seen snow at Bristol Motor Speedway. I was a part of the snowball fights.
Oh my God.
I have seen absolutely downpouring rain in the spring. And I have seen the sunniest days that I would leave with a sunburn. I've seen it all. The weather in Tennessee, and especially the Appalachian Mountains around here, it's so unpredictable. You can't predict it. And when they moved the date to April, you know, when they moved it the first time, I was like, that's a good, okay, April's a little better. It's still really unpredictable, but it's still a little better. And then we done it on Easter weekend. And even when it was raining, like, yeah, it would rain and it would maybe like delay the race a little bit. But I'm like, guess what? We're racing on dirt, so it doesn't really make a damn. And like, let's run them. So super bummed. We've already decided, Cody and I, we're ordering like the very stereotypical yellow rain suits and going to the track.
I love it. I love that.
Yeah, we're just ready for it. We're ready for a Monday race. That's what we're ready for. Is there anything on the schedule? All right. What do you think about the schedule? That's the question.
Well, first off, I will say every race I went to this year and last year minus the 600 in 2022, it rained. So that's like five races, I think, where it rained from IndyCar to NASCAR. And that sucked. So this weekend I'll be at the Roval and I don't think we're going to have rain. Like, knock on wood, fingers crossed, but like,
heck, it'll be, yeah.
Yeah, I'm so excited about this. So that's number one. Back on track with the schedule though. I think having Atlanta to start the playoffs, I think that's a really good move. I'm excited about that. I really am.
I'm okay. I'm so glad to hear you say that. I'm so glad to hear you say that. Totally agree. Totally agree.
Because, I mean, I don't like that we had the chaos to get into the playoffs. Sure, it was entertaining, but I'm also like, you're giving somebody who's really close on points an awful chance to get in, like, legitimately. And I put major air quotes around that. Having Darlington be the last race before we enter the playoffs, I think is a great move. It is the toughest track. You're giving these drivers, like, you're like, hey, if you really want to be in the playoffs, you're a few points out, you're going to have to earn it. Atlanta, though, if you want the chaos, that's where it's at. And that's where we can see these drivers getting into holes, kind of like we saw with Martin Truex Jr. at the beginning of the playoffs. You give them something to kind of it'll be a frustrating race for all of them, I will say. When we talk about Atlanta, though, right after the Daytona 500, a different Atlanta race here, that confuses me a little bit, but I understand why they did it. I heard some of the press conference that Ben Kennedy had today, and he was like, the reason why we're having Atlanta after Daytona, it is some sort of like a scheduling thing with the Olympics and whatever, but mostly the reason is they want to make sure they're carrying momentum from the 500 race, the super speedway racing that like one-time fans that only watch the 500 will go to. They want to make sure that they're willing to watch the rest of the season. So kind of carrying it over with another super speedway race, which I like, I understand that, but it's also chaotic. It's so chaotic to start the season, but it might be fun. So, like, I'm on the edge about it with being excited about it. Iowa, too. I don't know. How do you feel about Iowa?
I love Iowa. I love Iowa. Fun fact, this has nothing to do with what we're talking about, but the very first race I ever won on NASCAR Heat 5 was at Iowa. And I was like, you know what? This track's cool. So I was just like, yeah, I love corn. That's what I've been saying for years. Yeah, I love Iowa. Is making it. Man, I'm super excited to see the Cup cars go to Iowa. This is the part that I'm really scared about. If the package doesn't really change,
yeah,
it's gonna fail it. It's gonna have like a Wilkesboro moment. And like, well, I'm glad that we're going to Wilkesboro again, but
same. But here's the thing though, and I think I didn't think about this in the moment when I was making this video a few hours ago, but now I noticed that race, that's the first race that NBC has that they take over from, but it's not on NBC, it's on USA. And I'm like, why would you do that? This is a new track. Like, let's show it off, right? And if you want it to be as big as IndyCar's races at Iowa, like, you know, go for it. Have it on the main network. But if the race sucks, then you're not totally exposing it to a whole different audience on NBC to start your season, right? So I think in a way it's kind of smart.
It is.
I kind of hate it too at the time.
That's a very good point. I would have never thought about that unless you said that. It's on USA. That's the very first race that NBC takes over.
Yes.
That's a very good point. I would have never thought that.
I thought it was odd.
Yeah, but I'm with you on Atlanta. I really am. I really, okay, so Cody's not here. I'm pretty sure he's not showing up now. He's probably still presenting his project, whatever. But he's really, really angry about Daytona being moved. Yeah, he is pissed that Daytona is moved. He is livid about it. He's like, we took Daytona away from 4th of July. And some things that Cody found out that told me, and I really didn't know this till a while back, was that Daytona doesn't want the race on the 4th of July. Like, specifically Daytona, like politicians, I guess, doesn't want the race on the 4th of July. So they moved. I do too. And they moved the race to the regular season finale. And now they moved it back, right, before Darlington. And in my head, I'm like, it's Daytona's really gonna hate me after I say this. It's Daytona's fault. I hate to be like that. It is. It's their fault. I mean, they didn't want the race on the 4th, so NASCAR's now got to find a date. But for me, when they switched it from the 4th, I never really considered Daytona as a big implement in the playoffs. Like, I kind of took it for what it was, if that makes sense. But yeah. I never did. I wasn't, like, dead set, like, oh, my God, Daytona, you know. Like, for me, it's like, oh, it's the Daytona night race. I think Daytona has enough history and reputability that no matter what, you're still winning Daytona.
Right.
I think it's a track you can move, and it's not a big deal. I do, in fact, love that Darlington is the regular season finale, because if you're a really good driver and you have a really good team, you're going to do well, and you could race your way in a very hard-earned track. And somebody like Eric Jones, I know, is turning backflips right now.
First off, love Eric Jones, and I love that this is an opportunity for him. And even to, like, this year in the playoffs, what sucks is, like, the way these tracks are laid out for him in this playoff format that we have this year, it's perfect for him. These are all tracks that he's great at, that he loves in those first few rounds. Next year, things change a little bit. But again, with Darlington being before the playoffs, like you said, it gives him one last chance to get in. I love that for him and that team.
Yeah, and he's a great super speedway racer too. So who's not to say he could go out and win Daytona? I feel like their LMC is going to have kind of like an, and I'm not fanboying here, I swear, but they're going to have kind of like an RFK year next year. I kind of have a feeling, especially with Jimmy's involvement and switch to Toyota. I feel like he's going to do well. But big fan of Atlanta. I love Atlanta. Also love Watkins Glen in the playoffs. I'm probably one of the minorities.
So of all of the road courses that we could have had in the playoffs, I'm glad that it is Watkins Glen. Of course, this year, next year we'll have two road courses in the playoffs. So, which I'm fine with. I feel like that's fair. Road course racing with the package now is not my favorite, but I love Watkins Glen. It's, to me, the best road course that NASCAR has, period. So I think it deserves a place in the playoffs, and I'm glad it's there.
Yeah, I'm the same way. A lot of people are still, I don't know how you feel about the Roval.
Like, here's the thing. I get why they did it. We even brought this up. This was a talking point last year. Obviously, it's going to be this year because of the schedule. But, you know, if you take the Roval away and you go back to the Charlotte Oval, you're not making scarcity for the 600 event, the big event where they're getting all their funding from, or at least that's the tickets there are more expensive than other tickets, right? So from a business side, I understand why. From a product side, though, the Roval's fine. It's okay. It produces some chaotic, exciting moments. Merry off-season, happy Christmas, whatever that was. Like, great. But, like, just the oval racing is so good. Like, I want it two times a year at the track. Like, I want to be able to have that racing twice a year. Unfortunately, we're not going to get it. But I guess all I can say is I understand.
Yeah, I agree. It's such a... the package that they bring to Charlotte now and the way that these cars run at that track, especially during the Coke 600, it's some of the most exciting racing you see the entire season. The first year, I was like, man, I really want two ovals at Charlotte. When they ran the Gen 7, I was like, that's something that I want now. But at the same time, like, these cars are also really good at road courses as well. Like, they run well. So I kind of understand why they're splitting it. They're like getting two. I'm kind of with you. Like, I'm like, man, I want two ovals, but also I get it. Texas is out. That's good.
Most major win.
Major win. I kind of, like you said earlier, kind of sucks because this year was actually the most exciting Texas race. But I just don't think anybody trusts it anymore. So
agree.
It's gone. Phoenix is still the championship track. They're putting money into the sport. That's what I'll say. I'll leave it at that. Bristol's still a cutoff race. Thank God. I couldn't believe it. I was like, man, if they change Bristol from a cutoff race, I'm literally going to quit the podcast. Like, I actually had that thought. I was like, I'm going to quit NASCAR. I'm going to go do something else. Like, no way. Because I was so angry when the Xfinity Series ended the regular season at Kansas this year. I was like, that is so... Do you guys not remember, like, the Cindric and the AJ Allmendinger, like, sliding across the line? And they changed it back. So I'm okay now. I'm all right. I'm fine. Kansas is is there and then Bristol's the cutoff again. So I'm okay with it.
Yeah, I think good decision. I will say, like, I haven't taken a good look at the Xfinity and Truck Series schedule. I need to do that because I was going to make a video anyways. The one thing I noticed with Truck, though, that I am so mad about, and I will say, I'm from Ohio. I'm an Ohio girl. They got rid of Mid-Ohio completely, and I hate
that. Yeah, no, I hate that. Yeah. Also, I just realized I was totally wrong because I just looked at it, and they did not change it back. So I'm pissed that the Xfinity Series did not change it back. I just realized that the bold is the first playoff race. That is bullshit. That's my second cuss word. I'm pissed about it now. I can't believe that. That makes me so mad. I'm so angry about that. That is, gosh. I didn't realize that I was wrong until I looked at it, and I'm wrong. God, that sucks. That sucks. Yeah, I hate it for Mid-Ohio. I hate it. I love that track. I don't understand.
Yeah, it's so underrated. I guess, here's the thing. If you go to that track, is it the most polished? No. It's kind of like, I was there the past 2 years reporting for Truck and ARCA in person. And it's very odd. There's no media that really goes there because it's a one-off event. Like, if we brought Xfinity back, I think we'd bring more of a crowd. But if you go there and you see the difference between IndyCar and the crowd they bring in, people are packed like sardines when IndyCar comes to town at Mid-Ohio. Then you see the difference with ARCA and Truck. You are barely filling the stands, like barely. So I understand why it's disappointing. I'm not trying to say, like, if the track put in more time to, cleaning things up facility wise and whatever, we'd have more of a crowd. That's not what I'm saying, but more so like, I don't know how else you sell Mid-Ohio. It's kind of in the middle of nowhere. So it sucks. I get it, but I'm also mad. I want us to keep going there.
Yeah. I feel the same way about that as I do about Road America. Road America got shafted. Yes. Big turnout. Fans showed up. The fans are there. And, it's obvious. And, I know. Gosh, I don't know if I should say this or not. But I know there's a reason that Road America went away.
Fair.
I know the reason it went away, right? I get it. We've got another city that's wanting to put a lot of money into a certain race.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a pretty big city, and it was a very big event, and I get it. I understand. But man, Wisconsin fans shafted.
Yeah, I 100% don't agree with the fact that we're totally getting rid of that track. Like, I hate it. It's such an L move. And I don't know if we'll ever go back. I hope we do. But as long as we're trying to keep the road courses more concise on the schedule, I don't see it coming back. But you know what? If we got rid of the Roval and we went to Road America, I'm fine with that. But that would never happen because obviously, SMI tracks for Charlotte, we always got to go to that one twice a year. But replace another road course that's just not doing well that we go to regardless with Road America that does actually produce great racing. I'm here for that. But
also, I'm happy again. By the way, my dyslexia kicked in. Bristol is the cutoff race. I was wrong. I switched them. This is a roller coaster of emotions for me right now. I'm having a rough time over here. I couldn't remember who won races. I can't remember the Xfinity Series schedule. I'm really bad at my job today. it's awful. I'm actually being real. Sometimes I do switch things in my mind, and I realize that.
I do too, and I'll look at something 5 million times, and I'm like, okay, this is definitely it. And then I'll post a video, then someone will be like, well, actually, I'm like, no, it's not. What do you mean? I'll look at it again. I'm like, I swear to God. Switch.
Yeah, I saw it. And they've switched. They switched Bristol and Kansas specifically. Okay. So, okay, all right, I'm good again.
You can good move. Again.
Good move, Xfinity. People are going to listen to this. And they're going to be like, what in the hell? Like, somebody's going to be like, okay, he's wrong. Or no, he's right. Wait, what? No, he's wrong. Wait, no, he's right. That's what's going to happen. Sorry. My bad. I don't work on facts. That's what I'll say. That's my motto. But yeah, I totally agree about all that. Freaking Road America, Mid-Ohio, shafted. The Truck Series schedule wasn't bad. I'll say that.
No, I mean, the only thing is, like, we're not going to a dirt race, which I'm looking at the schedule now on my phone. I got to pull it up here. And I kind of feel like, I mean, that kind of bummed me out. Ben Kennedy did say he's like, you know, dirt's not gone forever. On his press conference, he's like, it's not gone forever. We're looking into a few options to maybe do like a few in the future. But for right now, it's gone. And I'm like, as long as it's just for now and it's not just something to keep us cool, like, I'm fine with it. But trucks on dirt is such a fun experience, you know? So I'm sad that's not going to happen next year. But oh, well. I mean, their schedule looks fine. I mean, nothing major stands out to me here. I mean, Milwaukee Mile's always great.
That's what I was about to say. Yeah, that's the only one that I'm like, oh yeah, yeah, that's
yeah.
a good one. Yeah. I miss the trucks running at Eldora. And I know that it'll probably never happen again.
No.
Most likely. But, gosh, man, that sucks. But, yeah. I'm a fan of the new schedule. I will say that there's two things that there's one thing that made me mad, and that was Spring Bristol. The second thing went away. Xfinity Series does have a cutoff race at Bristol, so I'm glad about that. The only thing, and we've talked about this a lot, the only thing that, like, I'm hoping that they're kind of getting better at is the regular season for Xfinity ends at this track. The Cup Series regular season ends at this track. The Truck Series ends at this track.
Yeah, I don't like that. Because it also, like, as a viewer too, it just makes you confused. You're like, okay, well, Cup Series ends their playoffs here. Everyone's done with their... Oh, wait, sorry. Cup Series ends their regular season here. So everyone ends their regular season. That's not the case. And that's really confusing. So hopefully, and I don't know if it's because of a TV deal thing, obviously too, scheduling. I mean, everyone has to get in a certain amount of races before they go to their playoffs. So I don't know if it will ever be fixed, but maybe with a TV deal, if schedule is able to get moved around a little bit, TV slots open up, I don't really know. Maybe that'll help it, but I still get so confused. I literally thought when the Cup Series had their race at Daytona, I'm like, all right, Xfinity is set. Everyone's set. We're good to go. And that was not the case. So
especially for new, like somebody that is a new NASCAR watcher, like that's going to confuse them the worst. And that's part of attracting an audience, in my opinion. Like, hey, we need, you know, we need like the same track. I know they do it different. I know there's a reason, because, you know, Cup does round of 16, the Xfinity does round of 12. I'm pretty sure the trucks do round of 12, right? They do 12 too.
They have 10.
Maybe it's 10. Yeah, that's what I was about to say. I'm already wrong on that. 10. Yeah, that's insane. Like,
yeah.
It should be 16 all across the board. Whatever.
I want to make sure I'm right too. And I should be. And if I'm wrong, then shame on me. But yeah, it's all confusing. And I will say too, like, as somebody who like started watching NASCAR like 2016, 2017, I was watching it as this more ridiculous playoff format started to like come into play. And yeah. I feel like in a way it was like, it was easier to learn because I wasn't transitioning from something else to a new system. But I was also like, wow, racing's more confusing than I thought. So it was very different.
Yeah. 2016, you said, was the first year?
Yeah. First race I watched was an Xfinity race. It was the night race that Kyle Busch won, Texas. So, funny enough, Texas was the first NASCAR race I watched in full, Xfinity-wise.
And that got you into it. Texas got you into it.
Like, I don't even know. I just remember, like, I don't remember anything more about that race than I was like, okay, so there's Elliott Sadler and there's Chase Elliott. And my dumb 16-year-old brain was like, there's two Elliots, but one of them has the last name Elliott and one of them's the first name. That's so rad. And I don't know why. I was like, I got to watch this whole thing right now. But that's the only thing I remember about it. But I don't know if Texas was necessarily, well, part of me remembers it being entertaining for Xfinity. So, yeah, it kind of got me to stick with it.
Hey, Texas done something good. That's the takeaway here.
Yeah.
It got Taylor Kitchen into the sport. That is what I'm hammering that in right now. Texas.
I need to be nicer to Texas Motor Speedway for that reason, for sure.
See? Yeah, see? That's what we do here at Left Turn Cult. We turn negatives into positives sometimes. We also turn positives into negatives. It just depends on the day. But You started watching NASCAR when my heart got ripped out, when Carl Edwards did not win. You watched the year that I was like, oh my God, because I was such a Carl guy. And I never pulled for Joe Gibbs Racing. I want to state that right now. I never pulled for Joe Gibbs Racing, ever. I respect Joe Gibbs. I respect the people of Joe Gibbs, but never was a Joe Gibbs guy, but always loved Carl. And then when Carl lost, I was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
It's awful. It's terrible. It's terrible. It's so funny. I got a few rapid fire questions for you before we end.
Yeah, go for it.
Great. You know, with I hope I say his name right. With Travis Kelce dating Taylor Swift, do you think NASCAR should bring Taylor Swift to a race? Are you a Swiftie?
Okay, so this is, first off, I adore this question and it's made my day. So first off, second, so I used to be a major Taylor Swift fan, like obsessive. And then her album, like 1989, came out, and I was like, oh, this is too different. I love country Taylor too much. So it was weird. And her new albums kind of sucked. And then the Eras Tour happened, and that sucked me right back in. And I was like, oh my God. Now I'm not as obsessive as I used to be, but I follow everything, I see everything. So yes, Swiftie, but not as major as I used to be. Second, I feel like it'd be great for them to bring Taylor Swift to a race. I know she did the national anthem for Phoenix years ago. I think that was what it was. But bring her back, whether it's a Grand Marshal, whether it's for a concert. Hey, if we want to try to piggyback off of what IndyCar does for their Hy-Vee concert series at Iowa, why don't we do the same thing? Bring in Taylor Swift. I don't think she would do it, but yeah, I mean, she's, what the crazy thing is, like, and I, Megan Thompson, I don't know if you follow her. She does stuff with NASCAR Social. Amazing.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. So she was like, you know, what's crazy is it only took, you know, NFL caring about women, like female interests, to get them interested in football, not like the pink jerseys or things like that. I'm like, literally, there are more women watching the NFL now than ever because of that damn woman. Words. But like, she does amazing things. So yeah, bring Taylor Swift to a NASCAR race, have a concert, jam out. Honestly, make her the all-star race, not the all-star race, the Clash. The
concert, yeah. Yes.
The Clash concert. Make her that. That'd be great.
That would be good. Should Travis Kelce be there too? Do you think he should show up?
I think he should. You know what? If it's a PR thing for them, I mean, I still think their relationship is wild. I think it's real. But I mean, good PR for him, you know, have them go together. Bring some NFL to NASCAR as well. I think that'd be great.
What racetrack would you like to see enter the NASCAR schedule that maybe has been on it or hasn't been on it? It could be any track. It could be grassroots all the way to a big name. Is there a track that stands out to you?
Oh, God. I mean, I think because this is most prevalent in my mind because the deal fell through, but I would like to go to Montreal again. You know, I was bummed that the deal's going to go through, whether that goes through next year or not, or it's gone forever. I don't know, but I was excited about it. I never really got to see the racing there when we had it on the schedule. So that's one I'd like to see come back.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. I was kind of bummed when I heard Montreal wasn't coming back. I was like, man, that sucks. But hey, we got Iowa. I'm like, hey,
yeah, you know, I'm here for that though. I love it.
Love corn. Yeah. Corn's great. Justin Allgaier is going to have a field day. That was, oh, yeah. That was a pun too. Get it filled day. I got another rapid fire question. with manufacturers loading up, we got lots of Toyotas, we've got lots of Chevrolets, we got lots of Fords. I feel like the field is evening out. Would you be a fan of seeing a new manufacturer enter the sport kind of soonish? Or are you fine with the three manufacturers that we have at the moment?
You know, I think I'm fine with the three manufacturers at the moment. And I think the reason behind that is, like, you know, we were like, maybe Dodge comes back and they're like, psych, we're getting rid of the Challenger and the Charger. Then we're like, well, maybe someone else comes in. I'm like, I don't know. But with everything going electric now, it's so hard for me to pick and choose another manufacturer I would want. And if they come into the sport, how long is it going to be until they're like, psych, we're going electric? So I would say for now, I'm fine with the three manufacturers we have, especially Chevy's going to have to figure out a backup plan too. But ask in a few years and I might have a different answer. But now I'm good. I like Chevy, Toyota, and Ford.
Agreed. I'm kind of with you. Last rapid fire question. This one's great. In NASCAR, we have lots of musical artists. We just talked about one, Taylor Swift, that show up and do NASCAR races. But me and some other people that I know, we have discussed this in the past, and we feel like that it's kind of the same people a lot. It was really cool to see Hardy at Talladega. I really like that. What musical artists do you think maybe should NASCAR bring in to get new eyes on the sport? What would help?
Oh my God, that's so music wise, I'm all over the place. And it's really like I pay attention to songs and not really artists all the time, which is a really bad thing. I love the artists that make the songs. I just don't always remember. God, what was the one country artist? And I know it's still country, but was it not Luke Bryan? Oh my God. He literally had a song called Something in the Orange. Is it Zach? Is it
Zach Bryan?
Yeah.
Zach Bryan?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good answer. That's a great answer.
And funny, when you said like artists, my brain went straight to comedians. I'm like, we should bring comedians to NASCAR race. That'd be sick. Like, bring
that's an even better answer. Yes. Shane Gillis, like, that would be a guy that would absolutely pump up a crowd at NASCAR. Yes. This year, when they had Danny McBride in the booth, I was literally like jumping up and down. I love Danny McBride. That's a better answer than what than Zach Bryan, in my opinion. Comedians in a NASCAR race, great.
Because, like, that'd be funny. Like, I don't know where you put them in. Like, in the booth, sure. And then there's one that I'm thinking of that literally is my favorite right now because it's Matt Rife. I think he's hilarious.
Matt Rife. You're a big Matt Rife guy? Or love gal. Him. I always say big Matt Rife guy.
Hey, you're good. For whatever
reason. I don't know why, but. Shit. Oh, dude. That's too many cuss words for this episode.
That's okay.
Many. We're going to have a counter.
So when I do the live streams, we have like, we call it like a swear jar. We really don't have one. We actually need to make a physical one, but I tend to swear a lot when I'm doing live streams. It just happens. There's three swear words that I use all the time and it just, yeah. So I'm good with it.
Theater.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's all my rapid questions that I had. Taylor. It's been a pleasure. It's been awesome. I'm getting ready to end the recording. Can you would you like to plug your socials?
Sure. Yeah. I think the easiest place to find me is if you go to abovetheyellowline.com. All of my socials are on there. My Twitter @_TaylorKitchen_. That's where my TikTok is. And then @AboveTheYellowLine, literally everywhere else. So, but go to the website because we have merch and stuff there too. Wearing some of the merch right now. Pretty excited about it. Hold on. If I turn around. You have the logo on the back.
It's a sick shirt. It's a badass shirt, by the way. I love it. Yeah. Six. Did you design it on your own?
So actually one of my buddies, Rob Branning, he does I'll show you a hat too. Not to say like shameless plug here, but he does all my logo designs. Super talented. And so like we have hats. We have more t-shirt designs, but all of it's on my website. But I'll just throw the logos that he does, the brilliant logos and designs that he does, throw them on a t-shirt. I have a new one that actually just dropped today that I'm really excited about that I don't have right now. But it's one of my favorite designs ever. So just check out the website and just find some cool merchandise and or my socials and everything like that in between. I'm going to stop rambling now. Thanks so much for having me on.
It was so fun. I have enjoyed it. thank you guys for listening to another episode of Left Turn Call Off the Track. I promise next time I will be way more informed. It's been a rough week. I apologize about the Bristol shenanigans. I was mad and then I was happy. I'm happy now. So I really appreciate everyone that listens. You all are great. I love you. I'm sorry Cody couldn't be on.
Missed you, Cody.
I missed him too, honestly. I'm guarantee he's bummed. But yeah, this is it. This is the end of the episode. Thanks for hopping on. Bye, Taylor.